Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, that's good. Have a seat, please. Hey. I know what you all are doing. You're stealing my preaching time. No, thank you so much for that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever really been hungry for something in life? I mean, really, have you reached the point where you do just almost anything to get that bite to eat that you wanted? As a missionary, the weather in the country of Korea one time was about like it was yesterday, only a little bit colder. And for about 3 weeks, I'd been sleeping on a hard floor, and I had waded mountain streams in order to get from village to village. And after about 3 weeks, preaching all day and sometimes into the night, after about 3 weeks, I was so tired, I was so weary, and I walked about 3 or 4 miles back to where I was to catch a bus and go home. As I went back to that bus terminal area, there were several markets there. And I got to thinking, it would be wonderful to have a Baby Ruth candy bar. I mean, there's a lot of candy bars that are good, but Baby Ruth candy bar. Here I am way off in a remote area, and yet there was a lot of American products that the GIs had given out. And I thought, it would be wonderful if I had a Baby Ruth candy bar. And so I started walking the street while I was waiting for the bus. I walked up and down the street, and lo and behold, there in the store, in one store only, was one Baby Ruth candy bar. Wow. After eating rice and fish, dried fish, for 3 weeks, I was ready for that Baby Ruth candy bar. So I bought that thing. I didn't care how much it cost. I bought it, walked outside, ripped the cover off, and it was a Baby Ruth candy bar. But the nuts were all gone or partially gone. The worms had gotten in there and eaten all of those nuts out of that Baby Ruth candy bar. And there were still some worms. So you know what I did? I said, move over, little dog. Big dog's coming in. I raked those worms aside, and I ate that Baby Ruth candy bar. A true story. In the Word of God, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. As a student in Bible college, we had all kinds of students. We had the jokesters. I suppose they were planning to be comedians. I hope they were successful. We had men who hungered and thirsted after God. We had men who would hear all the scuttlebutt, get discouraged, and what have you. But we had men and women who hungered and thirsted after God. One day, sitting in chapel, I appreciated the young man over here who said chapel was such a blessing, because chapel time to me was a special time in college. And I was sitting back there, and there was an old man. He was short. This old man walked up to the platform, and I thought, what would that old man have to give to me? Here I am, young, vibrant, ready to go. And that old man said, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That old man, his name was Lou Cass Bennett from Kansas, had never pastored more than probably 100 people. And yet that day as he stood before that student body and he talked about hungering and thirsting, and he said, I live by the Kaw River in Kansas. And he said, Jesus promised me, he promised us that if we would hunger and thirst, that we would, it would, for the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, it would be like that Kaw River flowing. And he said, here's the thing about that river. It flows on its own, on its own. It doesn't have to be pumped up. And as it flows, it cleanses as it goes along. And as it flows, it brings life to everything along the banks. And he said, it continues to flow consistently, on and on, life after life has gone. I sat there in chapel that day and I said, oh God, that old man has got something I don't have. I went home. I took a sword of the Lord. We had a garage that had a dirt floor. It was unattached from the house. I took the sword of the Lord. And I'd read Dr. John R. Rice, how great men were filled with the Spirit. And I put that sword of the Lord on that dirt floor. And I got on my face and I cried, oh God, I want that river flowing out of me. I want the fullness, the power of the Spirit of God more than anything else. And all of my life, I listened to various ones, their philosophies and what they were doing, what they were going to do. But I said, God, more than anything else, I cannot go on without that fullness, without that power of God. I want that river that flows, that brings life, that brings cleansing, that affects everything that it touches. I want that Spirit of God. I read J. Wilbur Chapman's book. When I read that, I was already out of college and on the mission field, and things were jumping, booming. And after a great day on the mission field, I went to my office and I said, God, what I did today could have been done by a circus. Lord, I want more than anything else your fullness, your power. And I reached over and I got J. Wilbur Chapman's book on the power of the surrendered life. And I started reading that book and it said, are you willing to be used of God even if he lets somebody else have the credit, the glory? I looked at that. I thought, you know, I've been conditioned. I've been trained. I'm supposed to be successful. But God, if you choose to use somebody else, if you choose to use somebody else, that's okay. And it said, are you ready? Are you ready to surrender your life unconditionally to God and give your complete being over to him? If you are, sign this book. And I grabbed my pen and I signed that book. There's a lot of things you can have in life that bring joy, that bring you a lot of fun. But I'm going to tell you there's no shortcut for the fullness and the power of God in your life. There's no shortcuts to revivals. There's no bargains that come from revival. Hal's Anderson students, you have a legacy that lives. You have a legacy of men that have gone forth to the battlefields of the world, that have conquered towns, and here you sit today, and this is like basic training to you. You submit to rules that you won't maybe submit to after you get out of this institution, but you're here, you're learning discipline for your life, but more than anything else, please learn. You can't be cheap and shoddy and have the fullness and the power of God. You see, I studied revivals. My question to you today is, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Oh, yes, you've heard some great teachers and some great people. You've got some wonderful, wonderful people that sacrifice so much for your students. But when they pass off of the scene, who's going to take their place? Who's going to sit in their chair? Who's going to stand in their pulpit? Oh, listen. Those that have been, that have come through this institution, and those that have influenced this institution year after year, that have walked in the power of God in your presence, and they're gone, you should have been looking at them and saying, oh God, make me a man, make me a woman like that. I want the river flowing out of me. I want to affect people's lives. As I studied revival, let me tell you something. The prophet of God walks alone. The prophet of God prays alone. You see, you're not just joining the crowd. That night or that day when you knelt at that altar at your church and you said, I surrender all, did it mean all? And since that time, have you picked it back up and said, I'm reserving this portion for me? You see, all of my life has been hungry and thirsting. If there was ever a day we need a mighty moving of the Spirit of God, it's right now in the United States of America. And if there's an institution anywhere that has the potential that this one has, I do not know where it is. Yes, there are other great Bible colleges. God led you here. God led you here to get something that would change the world. And I'm saying you can't change the world unless you walk in the power of the Spirit of God and unless you hunger and you thirst after righteousness. I read the biblical accounts of revival of Hezekiah, Josiah, and those. And then I have read what I could find on the great revivals over yonder in Wales. The great revivals broke out in Wales, and it was primarily young people just like you, just like you. Where is that generation of young people that will say, we're going to change our nation? We can't do it in the energy of the flesh. We have to have the power of God in our lives. And I think about reading of the great revivals in Hawaii. They would ring a bell. 6,000 people would come. And there was great weeping and groaning as people cried out, oh God, send revival to this Hawaiian chain. And they sometimes would preach 3 hours before breakfast. Where do we see this today? How does it come about? Are there shortcuts? I mean, can you be cheap and shoddy, undisciplined in any area of your life? Can you be just what you want to be? I have my rights. Jesus said, you better cut that right hand off if it's offending you. Give up those rights. You see, I read of the New Hebrides revival. One account, there was a man preaching, and revival fires were burning. And he asked a 5-year-old boy to pray. And that 5-year-old boy stood and started praying. And suddenly, across the whole crowd, they began to weep and to moan and cry out to God, oh God, I've got to get rid of these sins in my life. I've got to be yielded. I've got to, Lord, I'm going to quit reserving. I'm going to quit holding out. I'm going to give myself over to you totally, completely. You see, take your Bible and turn to the book of Joel. And while you're turning to the book of Joel, I'm going to read from the book of Habakkuk, and then we'll read from the book of Joel. And in the book of Joel, but first of all, I'm going to read from Habakkuk. Gird yourself, lament, you priest, howl, you ministerial students. Howl, you ministers. Come, lie all night in the sackcloth, you ministers, you ministerial students. You lie all night in sackcloth. That means deep humility and repentance. Young people, you are at the greatest opportunity of your life and one of the greatest institutions that God has raised up. And I'm saying to you that you hold the key, and today you ought to weep and mourn and say, we're going to bring revival to this school. We're going to bring revival to this area. We're going to bring revival to Chicago. In the book of Joel, he said, oh Lord, I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid. Well, I read from the first one from the book of Joel. But Habakkuk said, O Lord, I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. In the midst of the years, could be in the midst of the first semester. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then in the book of Joel, gird yourself and lament, you priest. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. Sanctify your fast. Call a solemn assembly. Huh, this is not a joke. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people together, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord take the lead. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Do you think there are shortcuts to the satisfaction of the spiritual hunger? Do you think there are shortcuts to revival? Do you think there are shortcuts to the fullness of the Spirit of God? I think I'm talking to good young people. I think I'm talking to some of the cream of the crop of all of America right here. And I ask the question, do you really think that an undisciplined life, do you really think that an unspiritual life is going to affect souls for eternity? I said from the beginning of my ministry, I long for revival, and thank God I've seen it many times. I've seen hundreds that would leap to their feet and cry, me too, me too. I want that salvation. And I've had a friend by the name of Onto Wicker from Kentucky, from the Kentucky coal fields. He and I had a common thirst, and he joined me on the mission field. One day as I drove across the city of Seoul, I became so caught up. I wanted to be like Jesus, see the multitudes and have compassion. And I started weeping as I drove my Jeep across the town. And I couldn't hardly see the road. I went to the Wicker's house. And I said, Anzi, I've got to have a place to get along with God. Can I use one of your bedrooms? And he said, yes, but please, can I go with you? And I said, sure. So we went there, the power of God. And I remember one time at a youth camp, he and I, it started raining, and the kids left the ball fields, and he and I went to the Jeep. We said, let's pray. Let's see the power of God break here in Korea with these young people. We prayed, and after it quit raining, we got out of the Jeep, we walked into the chapel, and suddenly, we didn't say a word, no drum rolls or anything. Suddenly, young people grabbed the back of the seat to keep from slipping into hell. And they hung on, some of them, for an hour or more. And I remember an atheist stood and cried, I'm not an atheist anymore. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. That man, my wife and I, just a month ago, we buried Mrs. Wicker. He was my prayer partner that we had developed while we were in college. Just 23 days later, 23 days earlier, Brother Wicker had sat there holding his wife's hand as she breathed her last. My wife said, he won't make it. He won't be here long. Sure enough, 23 days later, Ansi Wicker breathed his last on this earth. A man who didn't have all the so-called academic requirements, but he had the spiritual requirements, the power of God. I remember when his little girl died, there on the lonely mission field, he wrapped his arms around that little casket. And he said, oh God. And he stood up and I thought, well, he'll go home now. He said, Brother Jack, God called me and I'm staying right here and doing a work. In 12 years, he built 23 churches and a college. Young people, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? There are no substitutes. Why? Isaiah asked him, why do you buy that which has no value? Why? Today would be a good day to find a place around this altar and cry out to God for true, moving revival in this place. And As you come, now listen, don't you come unless you mean business. But you grab a friend by the hand and say, let's partner together. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Oh, in my life, let's have revival. Let's start a revival on the campus of Hiles Anderson College that'll sweep throughout this area. That's right. You can kneel there at the seats if you need to. Dr. Dave, would you please...